This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're a fan of MPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Eileen Curd.
Eileen Hankerton.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Eileen, you turned 90 just a few weeks ago.
Less than a month ago.
Mm-hmm. 9th of November. Yeah. But you came to New Zealand, though, a long time ago. You were born in the UK.
Yeah. Yep.
And you came here in the early 1950s.
1953. Yep. I left England in March, and I arrived here in April.
Okay, so you came by boat, and was it one of those six-week holidays that you had?
Or? Well, it was that everyone was paying, except two of us.
Yeah.
She was a £10 palm as well.
Ah, so you came on your own at that stage, but you just thought, let's go to New Zealand. You got the chance.
Well, my husband that I married had come a year before, but he dumped me. He dumped me for someone else, and my lady I worked with was older than me. She said, look, you're in a rut here. Go to New Zealand for 2 years and come back.
Yeah, go scare him off and say, I'm his.
So I went supposedly for 2 years.
Did you go to find your husband, or you just thought, go to New Zealand? He'd come to New Zealand.
He was there for...
And despite the fact that he dumped you and gone to New Zealand, you thought you'd go to New Zealand
as well. Yeah, well, I had a friend that was older than me, married friend, and she said, look, you might as well go. You're in a rut here.
Yeah.
Just go.
Okay. Because I suppose England at that stage, they were so busy... building up after the war, and you felt there wasn't much opportunity there, or
I was just
wanted something different.
Yeah,
you were 20 then, weren't you?
When I left England, I was 20.
Oh, you'd be nine.
20. I was 22, 22, I think. 20, 22, because I got 21. Married when I was 23.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay. Oh, that was
sure. 1953. I got married the same year I came out.
You got married? Is that your first marriage, or you got married to someone else?
No, I married him, the one that dumped me.
The one that dumped you, married him, and he shot out, and very soon afterwards, did he know you were coming to New Zealand?
Yeah, I think he...
I think he got wind of it.
I think he did. I'm not sure.
But did you meet him here once you came here? Did you see him again?
After a while, I did meet up with him. I met him at 5 o'clock... James Smith's Corner.
Oh,
in Wellington. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was like...
Was it all amicable? I mean, when he went, did he just say, oh, I think this was a mistake?
No, he was fine when he went. He wrote for about 6 months.
Dean
John letter.
He said, I'll send you the fare when I save up £10.
No, he met someone else. And when I was coming to New Zealand, the person he met was going to... England with two friends on her OE, and I always reckon we crossed on the water.
So he met someone else, but he didn't marry her, or
He didn't marry. He didn't marry her. No.
So you're a bigamist then. You're remarried.
So she said to him, "I bet you'll marry that Eileen." And he says, "No, I won't.
I'm already married to her."
And there we go. There we go. But actually, the hilarious part is, years later, I met her.
Yeah.
Her sister used to run a cafe on the corner of Cuba Street.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's one big one now, but she ran it for years.
Oh, a cafe. You mean in Wellington or here in part, Cafe Cuba?
She used to run Cafe Cuba. And she knew Frick and her husband. And... Mm. Her name was Alison. She came to visit her sister, and on the birthday, they heard the birthday calls. Fred Kern, and she said to...
So she was running Cafe Cuba, and there was a birthday call on the radio.
Yeah, and her sister happened to be there She heard it on the radio, that's right, and she went to see her sister, and she said, I know that Fred Coon. So what they did, I was working in town in a dress shop, and they both came in. I think she was sussing me out. Came in, and one of the girls there said, oh, Eileen, Fred's on the phone. She'd come in to suss me out, took off like a scalded cat, because Fred had rang to say she's on her way. She'd gone to where my husband worked first. He worked for Hallensteins. And her sister said, do you know who this is? And my husband says, I feel I should do. And it was her. And do you know, we became friends.
So we became friends. So what happened? The name was on the radio.
Yeah, that his birthday call for Fred Curd. And she heard it.
She knew that, your first husband?
I haven't got one.
You've only got the one.
Bloody hell.
Oh, you mean you did get back together, you mean?
I said that, didn't I? I said, I told you that.
She followed him from England to...
No, I didn't follow him. I came out for a 2-year break, didn't I?
Yeah, I thought this was totally separate, but you bumped... I thought he'd run off with another woman or met someone else.
No, he met someone here.
Yes.
They went out with her and then didn't like to two-time me. Wrote me a Dear John letter.
Okay.
He couldn't do that.
And then the woman decided she'd had enough of him and went on
with OE. Well, she was planning her OE anyway. She was going to England.
Okay, so she headed off.
And I came.
Leaving him behind. You came out. Straight to him? You just came out and bumped into him on the street corner.
I don't know how I got to arrange to meet him. But I
didn't. Arranged to meet him?
I don't know how. It must have been somehow or other. I can't remember.
It was fate.
That was 2 years.
5 o'clock at St James's Corner used to be the
meeting place. Call. Yeah, it did. Yeah,
particularly on a Friday night.
Can I stand?
So that was sort of a ritual thing in Wellington in those days, Stuart.
All these people looking for their husbands. I said, So you met up by accident and thought, yes, we are meant to be together.
I didn't meet by accident. Somehow it was planned.
It was fate. Yeah. Okay.
So that was it. I think.
So were you pleased to meet up with him after the Dear John letter? Did you hold it over him for years afterwards?
No. But it was strange because when we met, it was like the past year.
Yeah, it had never happened.
Back to where we left off.
You didn't have any secrets that you could say. Well, no, nothing at all. So
the only secret I had was on the first date, I went out with him to a dance at Seatoon, and I already met this other guy, Irish guy whose name was Brian, I think, and I had a date with him, and I think I somehow got in touch with him and said I was sick. So I went to the dance
and he was there too.
Uh-huh. Gave me a filthy look. And then I saw him again. That's right, we went to the Overseas Travellers Club. There was a club in Wellington for people that came from overseas. And so I met him there and we'd got married. And he said to me, and I said, I've got married.
You were already married before. Oh, you weren't married before. I thought you were married in England.
No.
This guy. No. She said she was sick and went instead with the dance with Fred. He got married.
No, he didn't get married. No. I told him that from the time I dumped him till I saw him again later on. We'd already then got married in November. And I said, we've got married. Oh, that was quick, he said. And then that was the end of the conversation.
Oh,
Yeah.
So how long now? So was it Fred was the one you married?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the one and only one.
How long had you known him before he came to New Zealand?
He came to work at the same lift manufacturer company I worked for. I was a telephonist,
mm-hmm.
and he used to be a postie.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come in and say good morning, and he'd go bright red, look at me, and go all red and go off again. And then one day he turned up and he said, I've come for the position of a lorry driver. And I said, we haven't got any jobs. And he said, yes, we have. I've got an appointment with Mr. Lashley. So I plugged the thing, rang up, and he said, yeah, send him up. He got the job as a long-distance lorry driver.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it. He said it's the best job he's ever had in his life. He went to England, Scotland, Wales. He absolutely loved driving.
You mean he spent most of his life in New Zealand regretting the fact that he gave up the best job he'd ever...
No, he had the best job here when he was driving the lorry in England.
He was driving the lorry in New Zealand.
He did drive... Did he drive in New Zealand?
You met him in England.
No, I met him in England because we worked at the same place.
Ah, you worked at the same place then?
Yeah, and I think he must have been the lorry driver, because I think we got in the lorry driver one night and had a pash kiss. And what we did, when we were getting out, some tools fell out and made a hell of a noise, and there was people working in the factory the neck, and they came out to investigate, and it was pitch black, and we were trying to scramble and get out of the premises. You know, out of the driveway where the lorry was. Oh, I remember that. Oh. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, a firing offence that had been.
Oh, I'd be surprised what we got up to.
Okay, so that was in England.
Yeah, that was in England. That was before we came to New Zealand. Yeah. But that was the job he really, really loved. He was actually, when he came here, he was a mechanic. He was in the Fleet Air Arm. During the war, and he was sailing down the Straits, before they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, something Straits. He was on the carrier with the planes used to go off, you know, Fleet Air Arm.
And
they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima.
Yes.
Then they were allotted one prisoner each. To look after, get them out of Shanghai, get them out. And the person he had, it's not very nice, he said his back was all gouged out.
Oh,
the Japanese had done that. Do you know, my husband would not buy anything Japanese for 30 years.
Yeah.
And in the end we bought a Mitsubishi car. Yeah, after 30 years he would not touch.
So they were taking Chinese who'd been prisoners or English who'd been prisoners?
Whoever, what, I don't know,
people
what nationality,
who'd been prisoners
yeah,
of the
prisoners
Japanese.
Just prisoners that were in prison.
And they were, bringing them back to the UK?
Yes, they were allotted one person each.
Oh, so they're probably British soldiers who'd been prisoners of war.
Yeah, he said that, and he was only 17, he had to lie to get in.
Yeah.
And they said to him, do you wear glasses? And he says, yes. Do you wear glasses? And he said, yes. And I asked him another time, and the penny dropped. And he says, no, I don't wear glasses.
Yeah. That's like the sort of how old you are you? Well, walk round the block and come in and tell us again. Yeah. So how did he feel about serving in the... I mean, he lied... to get in, but did he think it was a good decision, or he should have?
Well, I suppose it's
just
I don't
what
know
did,
why. I mean, he was only 70, it's young to be out doing that sort of thing, isn't it?
Mind you, I suppose in those days, like you said, when did you finish school?
14.
At 14.
I had a job at 14.
Yeah. So was he in the same, because in that day, those days, they finished school quite early and started work. So to say 17, they might have had 2 or 3 years in the workforce before actually signing up.
Yeah, I don't know what he did before.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Mm. Oh. Okay, anyway, so you came out.
Yeah.
You met up with him again.
Reconnected.
Yeah. And you thought, oh, this is okay, let's get married.
Yeah.
Or you decided he's the one, he decided you were, and then he came out and made a slip up, but
yeah.
That's right, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And he never sort of said afterwards, oh, I should have stuck with that new one.
No, not at all. Not at all. He loved me to bits.
Yeah, jolly good. Okay. And so you, and then you had a family?
Yeah.
Yep. Was that fairly early on?
My son was born 3 days before our first anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
In Wellington.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what now? What so you stopped work then? You chose to stop work.
I worked in Wellington until I was 6 months pregnant, and yep. Then I gave up. Gave up then.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah. Okay. Was that sort of choice, or was that what most people were doing? If you're going to have a family, then you stop work.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was no. I had to be home with the family. Okay. There was no relatives. No one there. We didn't know anybody.
Yeah. Okay. But then, I suppose, was that still the time of the idea of a family wage, so the man's income would be enough to support the family?
That was the time when I went to see the doctor for the checkup after, and he said, when are you going to have another one? And I says, oh, I only just had one. He says, well, you do not have another one for another 2 years. He said, you've got to let your body rest.
Okay.
That was I always remember that.
Was that because of your period growing up during the war and rationing?
No, that was just his opinion as a doctor.
Oh, just in general,
he just said you had to have a 2-year break. But I think it wasn't quite 2 years, I think, when Linda came. Near enough.
Hmm. Yeah, well, there's an issue as well, how far apart do you want the children, because, you know, they're going to Bond and so on.
Yeah, well, the third one we decided... The youngest one, we decided that month, no, we've got a boy and a girl, we've got enough, don't anymore.
Yeah.
Too late. And she turned out the best of the bunch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think so. No, I think there is well, in fact, among the Chinese at least, is the first one is gold. The second one's sort of nothing like as precious, but okay. But after that, they're just more kids. So, but then the first one is really protected and so on. The idea of the first one is looking to the parents and following the rules. Yeah. And it's the later ones who have all the freedom to develop their own personality. Yeah. So. So did you feel you just came here and felt, oh, I feel at home now? Or was it a strange country, different?
No, just settled into married life and you got on with it and whatever.
So what was your social circle? Was it other people who'd come out from England or a lot of New Zealanders?
I met a lady on the boat, on the Rangitata, that I had met at cooking classes. Before I left England, I went to learn. I couldn't cook. My mother was I'm an only child.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let me cook. Okay. I'd torn her help and she'd, no. So my husband said I couldn't even cook when I got married. He always remembers I had some rhubarb.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I haven't got a dish long enough. That was one of the...
But you mean you'd never eaten rhubarb before?
No,
you
never
seen it
cooked
cut up?
And I wanted a dish.
Oh, a pan that you could
fit the rhubarb in.
Ah, yep.
So, of course, he said, you cut it up. He was the brainy one.
Okay, but he stuck with you anyway, and you gradually learnt to cook, and he survived
I met this lady, and the first day on the boat, she came up to me, she said, excuse me, didn't we meet at cooking classes? And I said, yes, she was a sort of like the supervisor at the cooking class, and she always remembers me with long red hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She said, oh, you? I said, yeah, that's me. Well, she became the children's nanny.
Ah, yeah.
And she died about 92, I think.
Oh, yeah.
She lived to 92, yeah.
Gosh.
Okay. Now, can we go back a bit? Because you had your childhood in the UK during the war.
Yeah.
So what's your recollection of the... Well, you did mention you remember when the war broke out.
Well, yeah, I do, because I was very close to my grandmother.
Yeah.
I was the only grandchild living in the area, and of course I was probably spoilt, you know, and being an only child, I was probably to a certain extent spoilt, I suppose.
Yeah.
She had a lovely, she lived in a lovely old cottage. She looked after an older man.
Mm.
And it was a lovely cottage. The long drive and the beautiful archways of red, red roses that smelt. Mm. The really lovely old-fashioned roses that smelt.
Was this out in the country?
No, or? No, in Hounslow.
Okay.
Where I was, in Hounslow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just a two-bedroom little place.
Mm.
And I spent many happy hours there.
Oh, yeah.
With my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my grandfather, till he died.
Yeah.
He used to have a clay pipe.
Oh,
blow
yeah.
the bubbles. And yeah. I was, used to be fascinated. They had a conservatory. Yeah. You know, an old-fashioned type of what they had in those days, not like now.
Which means what? What was
well, it was just a glass and
just glass
wooden
windows.
Frame, wooden frame, and then you walked in there, then you got to the back door. The kitchen was, it was that small. There was just a sink and a gas stove, and it was very, very tiny.
Hmm.
Yeah, and a little small living room. And she used to make the most lovely treacle tarts.
Yeah.
Oh, they were delicious.
That's nice.
And bananas and cream.
Yeah.
That's why I like bananas. No, I just remember the day that the war broke out and what we did. That's in my mind, particularly.
So you were there, were you? With your grandma?
Yes, in the front garden.
Hmm.
And there was these sirens went, and we just ran inside and heard the news. And
so the sirens were just to announce the war rather than...
Okay. Yeah, but we had landmines dropped at the top of the street where I lived, and it was a big old house, and it was where I originally worked. It was the same company that moved to this bit further up and built a lovely factory with everything, because they were lift manufacturers, but I was in the office part, and the landmine completely wiped it, a huge big hole there, and then we had bombs at the back of us dropped behind us. And that's when my parents decided during the war to evacuate me to Yorkshire.
So would you, while you were still down there, you'd have gone into shelters and things, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have one. The next door people, I think they must have gone away, and they had an Anderson shelter inside.
Yeah.
So we used
now,
to go
the
in
Anderson
there.
Now, the shelter, that's the... What's that? Is that the archway of corrugated iron
it was a solid roof, dark black roof, and the white sort of like a cage, and you had to crawl into it.
Oh.
Okay.
And there was just him, my father, my mother, and myself. And then I can distinctly remember my father digging this huge hole in our back garden, and the war ended. Didn't need it. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, so you were back there by then?
Still in Yorkshire. In England there during the war.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
I didn't,
still in Yorkshire, or you?
No, I'd come back from Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And I can remember walking down the street, and I can remember what I said to my mother. I eat bacon now, Mummy.
Yeah.
And when she came to pick me up, where I stayed, it was... Didn't like the lady much. The lodger, her husband, was nice. He used to spoil me and buy me little treats from the shop next door.
Mm-hmm.
We had lovely, that Yorkshire pudding thing with gravy on first. That was lovely. I loved that.
Roast beef,
but there was
Yorkshire
no hot
pudding.
Water.
Yeah.
There was all cold hot water. When my mother came to pick me up, I was there 9 weeks.
Oh, yeah, it's only
nine weeks. I was 9 weeks there.
Oh, that's all.
Nine weeks. And I had to go across the fields in the snow to the school.
So it was a little village you were in, was it? Or a farmhouse?
It was Royston.
Okay. Yeah.
It was called Royston.
Yeah.
And across the fields to the school with a tablespoon of cod liver oil every day.
Yeah, that was a common thing for...
Yeah, I hated that.
Oh, yeah, probably kept you alive for a long time, you see.
It probably did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So why only 9 weeks? Was it the height of the Blitz?
I think my mother must have decided. Perhaps it was okay. They must have decided it was time for me to come back, there'd been nothing happening while I was away.
Ah.
But when I came back,
and it
was a landmine at the top of the street, bombers at the back.
Yeah.
There was a big rec garden, a big park, you know, with swings and that. And there was a bomb drop there. So it all happened when I came back.
Yeah.
So that's why they got me back, because it was so quiet.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. Maybe. So how did you feel with all that? I mean, normally in the middle of the night was it when there were the bombing raids, I suppose?
No, we got used to it. We got to the stage where you could stand outside and you'd say, oh, yeah, that's a German, that's a British one. You just know.
Yeah, sound of the engine. Yeah.
And when I was 14, I was in the grounds of this place that I worked for, the big old house that was still there. They had the V2s.
Yes, yeah.
And I was standing under a cherry tree, beautiful, lovely cherries. I don't like cherries now, but I used to like them. And one came over, and the bloody thing stopped.
Oh, the engine cut out.
And I thought, and it dropped near where my future in-laws lived. It was very close to them. And we went round to have a look, and all the destruction. Their houses, you know, sliced in half, just like you see on an earthquake. Just sliced in half. Yeah. Yeah. So I can remember that. I remember that I was 14 at the time.
Yeah. So when they talk about sort of the spirit of the Blitz and that sort of thing, is it as it's described now? They're very stoic and just carried on and so on, or was it people getting really stressed by it?
I don't know. I mean, we just carried on.
Yeah.
I remember the rationing.
Yeah.
And I actually came to New Zealand with my ration book with not one stamp in it. And I had it for years. And a friend of mine, friend of my husband's through soccer, and he said, I said, I wonder if it's worth anything. So he said, well, I'll take it. Do you know, I never got it back. He said he lost it. And I was half wild because it had Marlon Kennedy on it.
Oh,
perfectly.
Yeah.
Because there was someone years ago in the Woman's Weekly was looking for stuff from that era.
Yeah.
And I probably could have
sold
it to him. Yeah. But anyway, he said he couldn't find it.
Oh.
So whether he don't know what he did with it. He either genuinely lost it or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
But it was nice to look at that. It was just a bit of memory.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you were going to school through a lot of the war, and so with your school friends, were they affected much by the war?
No. We just went to school, and school was school, and.
Yeah.
I can remember getting some lovely little toffee things from the shop across from the school. Four for a penny.
Yep.
Lovely little thin toffee things. They were lovely. Little things like that you can remember.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.